tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Fish.
matters no
Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope each of you have had a spectacular week. And for those of you who are Kansas City Chiefs football fans, how about those Chiefs? Wow, the Super Bowl champions. The first time in 50 years. The game and the parade, wow, both so amazing to be a part of. Shaziz and I weren't there in person, but we watched it all on television, and it was just amazing. So, anyway, today is a special day also for another reason. It is the one-year anniversary of the Hope Show Returns. Can you believe that? 1 year! 1 year has already passed by, and I share this date with my daughter with her radio show. We started on the same day. And so this is our one-year anniversary for both of our shows, the Kara Hour with Music and the Hope Show Returns. It just seems like this year has passed so quickly. And so for that reason, I want to go ahead and play another song before we get started on today's message. I looked all over the place on the internet to find an anniversary song, but the ones that I found were all related to wedding anniversaries. But I think the song that I chose is a good choice for the special occasion, and the song is called Forever Faithful, and it's a love song for Jesus. So I hope you enjoy, and before I start the song, I do want to say that I may be running a little over an hour a bit today. I don't know that to be a fact, but I just wanted to put that out there to you. But I will try to keep it as close to the allotted time as possible. And so with that having been said, here's my anniversary song to Jesus.
Jesus.
after the raging storm comes the light. You mend the brokenness of this life. And in the darkest night I survive. Where would I be without your might? Seasons come and go, but not you. You're forever faithful and true. I believe in miracles and wonders that you do. I believe in love, how the cross you're nailed to. I believe in amazing grace and your heaven sent. That you do. I believe in love, how the cross you're nailed to. I believe in amazing grace and your heaven sent. I believe in you. I believe in you.
Welcome back, and happy anniversary to The Hope Show Returns. God is so good all the time. God does amazing things in our lives every day. For example, with The Hope Show, He brought us all together every Saturday. The first show aired for almost 3 years, I believe, before I had to stop because my parents' health issues, and a friend of mine also had some health issues during that time, and she couldn't drive, and so I helped her a lot that year also. One of my daughters moved in with Shaziz and I, bringing our precious granddaughters with her, and she also needed some help caring for them while she worked outside the home. Now, also, I did some weekly volunteer work helping an elderly couple in a local town, and simply put, though, that God wanted me to be somewhere else for a season in my life. But several years later, God has opened the door back up for me to do this great ministry for Him, and has allowed me to pick up where I left off at. And I'm so happy to be doing this ministry for God. To God be all the glory, because without Him, I couldn't do this message every Saturday. I believe this is what God wants me to do. Share the love of God and spread His word to all of you each week. And I thank God for loving us so much, don't you? So let's get started with today's message by bowing our heads in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing all of us together today to worship you and grow in our knowledge of you. We come before you with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, each one of us have our own unique journey in life. Our days were written in the good book before we were even in our mother's womb. In Jeremiah, your words say, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Thank you, Lord, for this promise. Remind us of that truth along our journey. And also remind us that your word also says that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those called according to your purpose. Dear Heavenly Father, in our journey with you, may we never lose our sense of direction. Never lose sight of the landmarks toward which we travel. Should clouds and rain obscure our vision, may we draw ever nearer to you, so that our feet may tread in your footsteps. Your words be our encouragement. Your love be our protection against the storms that assail us. We have free will, Father. You created us this way. Though there are many things that try to trip us up in this world, try to make us stray from the righteous path, guide us in all that we do. Guard up our hearts and our mind to know where the enemy is doing his work on us. Give us the knowledge that we need to not fall for the enemy's lies. Your light is the only light we need. And as we travel through our life journey, your words, the only voice we hear, that still small voice that leads us to the place we should be. And dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and may the words that come from my mouth today be exactly what you want me to say, and not from my own understanding. We thank you for all these answered prayers, and in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen. Thank you, friends, for joining me in that moment of prayer. So let's begin with today's message. Today's message is the four landmarks of Christian living. We are going to be studying four important places in the Bible, what they mean, and their significance in the Bible and to us. Those places are going to be Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and the Jordan River. If you can envision in your mind, I want you to try to think about a map in your head. So, a map that's going from up to down and slightly to the right. And this map has dots along the way, like a line connecting each of these places to one another. At the top of the map is Shiloh. And then down from this place, a line from Shiloh goes to Gilgal. And then from Gilgal, another line drawn taking you further down to Bethel. And then another line drawn from Bethel, curving slightly to the right to go to Jericho. And then from Jericho, another line being drawn in more of a loop toward the right to the Jordan River. All sort of in a downward drawing, and then looping back to your right at Jericho, as it then extends to your right further to the Jordan River. I hope that that hasn't confused you too much, but the image of the map in your mind isn't the main focus of today's message. So let's talk about Gilgal first. Gilgal represents separation, which is one of the landmarks, one of the many more stages on our journey to heaven. Let's start by reading 2 Kings 2:1-6. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," said Elisha, replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. So what is the significance of Gilgal mentioned in these verses in 2 Kings? Why does the journey start from Gilgal? These verses that I just read to you is the start of a story about the prophet Elijah being taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, while the prophet Elisha, his apprentice, just looks on. Gilgal is first mentioned in the Bible in Deuteronomy 11:30. Gilgal means rolled away. There was a lot going on back in those days. They were rough times, to say the least. Things that were not godly. Gilgal eventually became corrupt. Gilgal is the site where Saul later became king. And for other reasons, too, Gilgal became a site of improper worship and disgrace. And so there it begins. But God rolled away the disgrace back then, and He still rolls away our disgrace today. God says we can start all over again. And when God rolls away the disgrace of His children, He says, it's gone, left behind, it's a thing of the past, it's forgiven and forgotten. God reminds us that He is for us and not against us. God says in the Bible, I was with Moses, and so shall I be with you. In Joshua 5:9-15, the verses begin by saying, the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt. In Philippians 3:6-7, the Bible tells us, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever we were to gain, whatever gains were to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. God orders our steps, friends. Gilgal reminds us that God also rolls away our humiliations, our guilt, our past failures, disasters, and mistakes. We can start out life anew every day when we wake up first thing in the morning. It's a new day. This is where it all starts for us. Our separation from the world. Asking Jesus to come into our hearts as we make Him our personal Lord and Savior. This is our salvation. Sometimes we still fall back and have to repent. Nobody's perfect. Sometimes it feels like you have gone two steps back just to go one step forward. Gilgal signifies the simple, basic Christian beliefs and teachings that first introduce us to a spiritual life, and that we return again and again as we fight our early battles to allow God to transform us. At whatever stage of your journey, you will always have seasons in your life where you will feel this way. You will feel like you've gone two steps forward to your one step forward, or two steps backward to your one step forward. But we have to keep our eyes on the prize, and the prize is heaven. We have to keep the world behind us and the cross before us. So let's talk about the next significant landmark in our lives. That is Bethel. Bethel means house of God. In Philippians 3:8, the Bible tells us, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. This is about the next step of our salvation in our journey through life. It's about after you have made that decision to live for the Lord, devoting ourselves to the Lord. This means just more than lip service. This means finding a church family and making it a habit of going to church to grow more in the Lord. It means fellowshipping with other Christians, as the Bible tells us, that iron sharpens iron. In church, we find godly counsel and receive a treasure and all of God's blessings. Bethel is one of the first places that the Hebrew people met with God. In part because of this, it signifies our first beginnings of knowledge and understanding about God and heaven and the spiritual truth. Thus comes the first stages of our spiritual journey. when we are more earthly minded than we're spiritual minded. A house of God is an earthly, physical place, such as a church or temple, that is seen as the dwelling place of God. Of course, God can't be contained to one physical building or location. But the church is a solid place that reminds us of the presence of God and a place that we can all go to fellowship and worship God with other believers. Friends, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break right here. And when we come back, we will continue on with this journey for knowledge. And so this first song is Come As You Are by Crowder.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Oh, I'm broken, lift up your face.
Why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze. with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. Your kingdom first, we hunger and we thirst, refuse to waste our lives, for you are our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace, we lay down our life for heaven's cause. We are your church. This
And thank you for joining me here today on the Hope Show. I am excited and happy that you chose to spend your Saturday tuned in to the Hope Show Returns. Today marks a very special day, as it is the 1-year anniversary of the Hope Show Returns. God has done some amazing things in my life, just as He has for all of you. And I know that for myself, this is only just a portion of what will come, and I am excited. I can hardly wait to see what is in store for the second half of my life. And this is the second time on air with the Hope Returns. So, second chances, if you will. For a few years between the Hope Show and the Hope Show Returns, God told me that I was needed elsewhere and that I should go. It was a very tough decision. But I needed to obey God foremost and utmost. And so that's what I did. I stopped the volunteer work I was doing at the local thrift store. I put the Hope Show aside for a little while. My life changed course for a few years. God wanted me to help my parents and a friend that was in really bad health, a local elderly couple that needed assistance with daily activities. My children, my grandchildren also needed my help. And so that is why what I did. And now God has given me the opportunity to do this again with all of you. Today we have been talking about the four landmarks of Christian living. We are talking about four different places, what their names mean, and the significance of what each one means to you and I today. Making a new start, gaining our salvation, and living for the Lord. The second place, that was Gilgal. That was what Gilgal represented. It represented our separation from the world. So the second place was Bethel, or House of God is what it's known for. Bethel represents the next stage in life for us. From salvation, the separating of ourselves from the darkness of the world, and then we go to find ourselves a place to fellowship and worship, better known as the church. Now, friends, I'm not saying that this is the only way, that you must go to church. I believe you should try to find a family church, but I also understand that for many reasons, some people have their own personal reasons for not attending church. And who am I to say what is right or wrong? And so I don't wish to push my beliefs on anyone. But anyway, like I said, I'm not saying that this is the only way. Because I believe as long as you are still reading the Bible, growing in the Lord, still praying, maybe even you have a favorite televangelist to watch on TV regularly, or you have a favorite radio station like K-Love or something like that. It's my belief that you are still staying connected with God, and that's really the most important thing. We go to church to gain more knowledge about God, to stay accountable, pray, repent of our sins, worship in song, be a part of the body of believers, and to help support one another, and to devote ourselves to growing in the Lord. But different people have different beliefs, and they have their reasons, and that's okay too. Just so long as you stay plugged in to the Lord. There is power in numbers. In Matthew 18:20, the Bible tells us, "Where there are two or three gathering in my name, there I am among you." And so that catches you up to speed if you're just tuning in and that you've missed the first part of the message. So now I want to go on to the third stage, or place, and this is Jericho. Jericho means walk by faith. In Philippians 3:9, the Bible says, "Be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." A person may remain stuck in this stage of the journey for quite some time. Some of you may catch on pretty quick just like that and be like, "Next." But for some of you, you may be more like me. You don't pick up as quick, and you try to do things on your own understanding, and then you're stuck there, wandering around the wilderness, wondering why you're not getting anywhere, just circling until we learn the lesson that God wanted us to learn. And this is certainly how I would describe my life when I was a lot younger. I was stubborn. I was strong-willed. I don't know if you've ever heard of the story of a person walking down the same street all the time. The street has a hole in it, and even though the person knows that the hole is there and travels that same route every day, he or she still falls in that same hole every day. It doesn't occur to them to walk around and save themselves some aggravation until much, much later. Don't we humans do that sometimes? Probably more often times than we would like to admit. We know something isn't good for us, but we do it anyway. We keep taking the same path, having the same results over and over, but expecting a different result. Isn't that foolish? Why would you have different results if you keep falling for the same lies from the enemy? Wake up, sleepers. Believe in God. Have faith in Him. Trust in Him to work everything out for our good. Don't lean upon our own understanding, because we will surely fail. None of us are perfect, and surely not I. Sometimes we don't always walk by faith, even though that's what we're called to do all the time. But we are flawed, and God knows that. We have our ups and downs, but it is in those moments that we should be working our faith out the most. Friends, are you willing to do anything that God tells you to do? Are you willing to do something for God even though it doesn't make sense to you? You don't understand how or what God said. You don't understand how it'll ever work. Friends, I'm telling you, do it anyway. It's not up to us to question the will of God. Our job is to merely trust and obey and have faith. Have any of you out there seen the VeggieTales performance of The Wall of Jericho? It's really a very cute clip. If you haven't seen it, go look it up on the internet. It's titled VeggieTales Jericho Keep Walking. It's a little cartoon. It's 2 minutes and 31 seconds long, but I sincerely believe you'll enjoy it. It's really cute. But back to the message. We also have to watch what we say, and we have to change our perspective on things, too, sometimes. We have to believe. If you go around speaking negativity over your life, that is what you will get. We have to change in the spiritual first, and then the physical will follow. In one biblical reference, it describes Jericho as a place of fragrance, a fenced-in city in the midst of a vast grove of palm trees in the plain of the Jordan. Doesn't that sound like a really pretty place to be? It was said to be one of the most important cities in the Jordan Valley. It was said that in earlier years, before the takeover, that it was a rich and flourishing town, having considerable trade and celebrated for its beauty in the valley of the Jordan. Some of the research that I came across in my preparations of today's message indicated that very early on, a wall may have been built to protect the city from flooding because it was so near to the Jordan River. But later, Jericho became the first city attacked by the Israelites after they crossed the Jordan River. The walls became a symbol. It was the first city the Israelites had to conquer to make progress into the Promised Land. Why did this become a symbol? The city of Jericho, particularly its walls, was the first real obstacle to new life that the Israelites faced after crossing the Jordan River. Quite literally, it blocked them from beginning a new life. The Israelites were great warriors, but the walls presented a new kind of anxiety. God reminded them that in order to move forward, they must make their own path through Jericho. Jericho was staring Joshua in the face with its impenetrable walls towering over him. It was armed with some of the most sophisticated weaponry of that day. It was in lockdown because the people of Jericho knew the Israelites were going to attack. More than any other obstacle, Jericho was standing between Joshua and the people of God, preventing them from occupying the land God had promised them. If they could overcome the walls of Jericho, then God's promises were sure to follow. And sometimes the most direct path for any of us, quite literally, is to go for us to go through a giant wall. God ordered the Israelites to walk around the wall for 7 days, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And on the seventh day, Joshua commanded his people to blow their trumpets made of ram's horns and shout at those walls until they finally fell down. So I ask each of you, what is the equivalent of a Jericho in your life right now? What is keeping you from your promised land? We all have those walls, don't we? Maybe today your city of Jericho is some habit that you can't seem to break because it's surrounded by walls of weakness. Maybe it's some sickness or affliction that you just can't get your healing because it's surrounded by walls of doubt and lack of faith. Maybe God has given you a promise or told you to do something, but your city is surrounded by a lack of trust in God. Friends, your wall of Jericho could be anything. It may relate to your job, your finances, your ministry, your marriage, your children, your family, your physical health, even your stage in life. But we all have our own wall of Jericho. Friends, in Romans 8, the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Friends, what you need to do, or what do you need to do? What do you personally need to do to win the battle, your Jericho? In the Bible, it says that the first thing Joshua did was look up. But do you know where he was when he decided to look up? He was right beside the wall of Jericho. Therefore, it was not looming in the distance, but instead was right there, big and looming and huge in front of him, staring him in the face. That is what happens to each of us. Our Jericho works the same way. We can't get away from it. We can't help thinking about it day in and day out. It gets our attention because it is always in our face. Whatever gets your attention like that has a way of consuming us. And the more you think about it, the more you focus on it, the bigger it gets, and the more overwhelming it becomes, and the more it weighs you down. The more it keeps you from thinking of anything else. Have you ever had something in your life, a Jericho, that is so looming and so overwhelming to you, and it's just in your face, quite literally, and you can't stop thinking about it day in and day out, and it does consume you, doesn't it? I've had those moments. True statement, folks. Do you need to turn away from your Jericho so that you can actually see something else? Friends, this may sound a little harsh, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I say it with the utmost respect and love for each and every one of you. There are doubters in our midst. We sit around with our lips saying, I know God will bless me. I know God will heal me. I know God can handle my burdens. And yet all the while, our hearts are far from that truth. That is what is wrong with us today. This is why our walls of Jericho are still standing around us. The answer is that we are doubters, pouters, and do-withouters. Yes, I'm speaking some cold, hard truth here. I'm challenging you to stand in the face of the enemy and say, my God can conquer all things, and there's no hope for you, devil. I will win this battle because the Lord said I would. I believe it, and that makes it so. March around your walls of Jericho and claim what God has promised you. When you have done exactly what God has told you, the walls of Jericho will start tumbling down. I made a sign and I put it in my bathroom just to remind me of the simple truth. And you might think that the bathroom is a really strange place for me to put a sign, but the reason I do that is because that's the first place I go every single morning. The very first place I go. And that's also the very first place, not only for obvious reasons, but that's where I get ready in the morning. That's where I do my hair and my makeup, and I get dressed, drink my coffee, listen to some K-Love or some televangelist that I enjoy, or just quietly pray. And so that is why that I put my sign in the bathroom, because it's one of the first things, the first motivational things that I see first thing in the morning. And so this sign says, faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, so that it might be so, simply because God said so. And that is so good. I'm going to say it again. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, so that it might be so, simply because God said so. All you have to do is be obedient to God's plan. It's not easy. Many people will stumble and fall, fail, and have to start all over again. And that's okay. That's been true of my own life too many times to count. But even in the fall, there is much to learn. They are character builders. We are the clay and God is the potter. We have to remember to submit to God's will for our life and not to be so stubborn in our attempt to do everything by ourselves. Because it does not work that way. We are not God. We don't know everything He knows. Well, I have stayed on the topic of Jericho for probably much longer than I should have, and so let's move along to the final and fourth stage, the landmark as Christians, and that is the Jordan stage. Jordan and resurrection. So what does that mean? What is the significance of it all? In Philippians 3:10, the Bible tells us, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. What does this verse mean? Faith in Christ includes sharing four aspects of Christ's life. The first thing is knowing Jesus clearly involves the power of the resurrection. Jesus conquered death and provided the way to know God for us. And two, there is the importance of sharing in His suffering. Some believers believe that faith provides freedom of hardship, but that is not true. It's simply not true. Living for Christ includes sharing in both the joys and the struggles of Christ. And Christ in His death, and sometimes this means the suffering as well. And number three, there is the concept of mimicking Christ in His death. The focus is on becoming like Him to death, but not by the method of death. It means to die to the world of sin and temptation so that we might be fully transformed into Christ's image. And number four, our hope and gain for something other than normal resurrection of all believers from the dead. In order to achieve this ultimate, we must press on daily in our Christian experience if we hope to attain the prize at the end of our journey. This is the time in which we'll get to meet the lover of our soul, to go to our mansion in the sky. We don't truly know how heaven will look, but I am sure that we will all be blown away with its glory. We can imagine what heaven will look like when we get there. But I'm sure that it will far surpass anything that any of us could have ever imagined. Friends, I want to say this. Do what you're called to do. People may stay at a distance and they may watch you just to see you fail. But don't be afraid to fail. Because what seems like a failure to some may, in our case, be an open door to something better that God wants for us. Just continue to grow in the Lord, friends. And to summarize what Romans 8:37 through 39 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I want to share a quote from Pastor John Hagee, and it reads, "The attitude of Christ breeds confidence. Consider David and Goliath. When Goliath came up against the Israelites, the soldiers thought, 'Whoo, he is so big. We can never kill him.' David looked at that same giant and said, 'He's so big I can't even miss him.' See, it's the same problem, but it's a different perspective. When you have confidence in Christ, you're not challenged by the opposition, because the battle belongs to the Lord. All you have to do is sling the rock, and the giant will fall. The real test of your attitude is seeing what it takes to stop you." So, to summarize today's message, the steps or the landmarks of Christian living are this. First, you believe that God is real, and that He orders our steps, and that we need God in every part of our lives because we can't do it alone. This is the stage in our life where we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We repent of our sins. We ask the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And it is where we separate ourselves from the darkness of the world as we start our new journey living for the Lord. At every stage of our journey, we are going to fall, folks. Just when we think we're doing so well, suddenly, we become overly confident in our own ability and we take a few steps backward, and then it takes us longer in our journey to go forward. Secondly, after going through the first stage, you devote yourselves to growing in the Lord. You devote yourselves to growing in the Lord. You do whatever it takes to be more and more like Jesus and less like yourself. Find other believers and join a supportive church family. Stay in prayer. Stay in the Word of the Bible. Expand your knowledge. Never stop learning. Never stop believing in God. Don't give up on God because He never gave up on you. Strive to do better and be better. Strive to live a life worthy of God. Apply it to your everyday living. And live in the image of Jesus Christ. Even the oldest and the wisest can still learn something new. And I pray that I never stop learning, because that will be the end of it if I were to stop learning. Till the day I die, I want to keep learning, keep learning, keep learning. You're never too old to learn something new. So, the third stage is conquering your wall of Jericho. Sometimes it can take us years at this stage of life. Some of us can't get beyond this stage. But this stage of our life calls for us to walk by faith, not by sight. Even if you can't see what is in store for your future, even if what you have been asked to do doesn't make a bit of sense to you, do it anyway. Without question, God doesn't always believe, or He doesn't always reveal everything right away to us. But I'm telling you, folks, this stage of our life calls for us to walk by faith and not by sight, even if you can't see what is in store for your future. Even if what you have been asked to do doesn't make a bit of sense, if God commands you to do something, then do it. Without question, do it. God doesn't always reveal everything to us right away. What doesn't make sense now might make sense later. Perhaps it'll never, you know, be revealed to us why that happened. But I can always guarantee you that whatever does come out of it, God feels like this is the best choice for you. Perhaps God is more willing to reveal a little bit more to those spontaneous people of the world. Because these people seem to fly by the seat of their pants, and I mean no disrespect in saying that. Some of us, our makeup, we can't do that. I'm a more organized person. And so, to be spontaneous, I can be spontaneous to a certain degree, but beyond that, I need a little bit more structure in my life. And so, I mean no respect by saying that. Everybody is made different, and that's what makes the world go round. But they are always up for a good adventure. And so perhaps these people might get a glimpse of what God has in store for them and be like, "Woo, sure, let's do it." But organized, what to know, what kind of, you know, like I said, there's the organized people, and that's definitely me. God may be willing to give us a glimpse what he has in store for us, because we tend to analyze things too much, question too much. Some of us might look at his plan and think, how is that going to work out? Perhaps I have a better idea. So you see where I'm going with this? Walk by faith, friends. And the fourth stage is racing up to the finish line, having lived the life God planned for you, having had the faith and the trust in the God, kept it all for all time. The moment when you have your eye on the prize and you hear at heaven's gates, "Well done, good and faithful servant. So let us close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today's message. Stepping out with you is an adventure, a journey we must all make. No one can do it for us. It's a very personal journey that we must make, you and I. No two journeys or adventures are alike, as individual and as unique as we ourselves are. Father, stepping out with you is stepping out into the unknown places, facing uncertain dangers, meeting people who may be for us, and yet others may be against us. Father, stepping out with you is stepping out with you. Wow, it's just such a journey, such an adventure, in faith. Dear Heavenly Father, let my eyes be your eyes, sharing compassion, warmth, and love. Let my hands be your hands, bring healing with every touch. Let my ears be your ears, listening where there is need. Let my words be your words, bringing comfort, joy, and peace. Father, use my hands to help others carry their burdens. Use my voice to carry their word, or your word, to them. Use my feet along this journey, this adventure, to walk in your footsteps. And please, Heavenly Father, please use my heart to transform this world. Give me the power and the strength it takes to overcome whatever the obstacle set before me is. Let there be less and less of me and more of you in me. Thank you for these answered prayers. My journey awaits. My destination, heaven, awaits. In your Son Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, I want to thank each and every one of you again for joining me on the Hope Show Returns today and making this such a special one-year anniversary. In this life, we all struggle. We all have decisions to make and free will in which decision to make. Choose your direction carefully. Make sure you're following the narrow, righteous path of God and not the broad path of the enemy. I say this all the time. Life is short. The journey can seem long to us. The struggles insurmountable. The suffering overwhelming at times. But God is love. And God will always be on your side and mine. And He will always see us through whatever is going on in our life. And He rejoices alongside you when all is well with your soul. If you haven't already made the decision to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do so. You will absolutely not regret it. It will be the best choice you've ever made. We have a friend in Jesus. Always. God's love is unconditional. He is our real Father. Comfort, joy, peace, strength, love, and a place of refuge. All of that can be found in God. Like nothing you will ever experience here on earth with another human. We humans are flawed, but God is perfect in every way. He will not let you down or disappoint you. And so this wraps up another week here on the Hope Show. God bless each and every one of you. I hope you have a great week ahead. Until next week, same time, same place. May God keep you and protect you and your families. I love you. You are here, healing every
worship you. You are here, meeting every need. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, de 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 motion de amazeke ame.
Sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. A precious deed that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through that saved.